نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا ومن يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القران المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياه ليبلوكم ايكم احسن عملا وقال الله في مكان آخر ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا وقال الله تعالى في مكان آخر أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون صدق الله العظيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته The verses which I have just recited, they are three different places, but all are pointing to the same fact. Alhamdulillah, we are Mu'min, we are Muslim. Even the worst Muslim, at some stage of life, he thinks that he is going to die. And no one, whether he is a Mu'min or whether he is an atheist or an infidel, whatever he is, no one thinks that he is going to live in this world forever. That's a statement of fact that everybody feels, whether he is a Muslim or not Muslim, that's not the issue. The point that the Quran is making, that we all think of Akhirat. But thinking of Akhirat is one thing, and to be conscious and to be aware of the consequences of that constantly, that is what is missing. The first verse which I recited, Surah Tabarak, Allah Ta'ala says that blessed he, Allah Ta'ala is full of barakat, and he has got power over everything, wa ala kulli shayin qadir. And since he is a qadir, and since he is powerful, since he has got qudrat, and that is why he is the only one who is the creator of life and death. And strangely enough, in this verse, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the word maut first and hayat afterwards. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاتِ Allah Ta'ala could have said خَلَقَ الْحَيَاتَ وَالْمَوْتِ but didn't. Says خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاتِ It's a subtle point, but it is an important point. And the reason is this, that we are going to live in this world which is temporary. The life which is going to come afterwards, that is eternal. And that's why the hayat which comes at the end, that means there's a continuous state of life after that. But maut is going to interrupt that life which is on this world as such. Why Allah Ta'ala created maut? And why Allah Ta'ala has given this temporary life? Allah Ta'ala says, لَيَوْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا So that Allah Ta'ala may test you. May test you by giving lots of temptations. Lots of things of this world. And to test you that who is among you best in his action, best in his deed. Because this is where you test. How do you test the honesty of a person? Or your children for that matter, if you are training them. Or you throw around your coin, throw around things like this and see, test how does he react to it? What does he do with it? So Allah Ta'ala also has created that in this world. Things which tempts you, things which you persuade you, and then the test is at that time that how do you react to it? What do you do with it? Then Allah Ta'ala says, which is the third verse which I have recited, I come back to the second verse afterwards. أَفَحَسَبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَسًا. Do you think, whenever the Quran uses the word hasab or hasabtum, the answer to that will be negative. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, did you think, أَفَحَسَبْتُمْ, did you think that we have created you in vain, for nothing, for no purpose? Is that what you thought? Is that what you think? And therefore the answer will be no. أَفَحَسَبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And that also you think that you are not going to come back to us. Is that also your notion? Is that also your misunderstanding? That you will not return to me and you will not give your account. Is that what you think? Again, the answer is no. That's not the fact. And that's why we say, we have been taught that when somebody dies, any calamity you hear, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Raji'un, what does it mean, raji'un? Return where? Return to the place where you came from. That is your watan. That is your house. That is your home where we are going to return. Now these are a statement of fact which comes in the Quran again and again. But the crux of the matter is, how do we do that? How do we achieve it? How do we achieve consciousness of Allah? How do we achieve the presence of Allah in our mind? How do we settle and firmly root that presence of Allah in our mind and our heart? And second point is, then what is the purpose of this presence of Allah in our heart or mind? It should do something. To avoid sin, to avoid rebellion against Allah, to stay away from sins, or at least major sins, that require little bit of work, that require little bit training, that require little bit of your conscience and conscious effort to stay away from those major sins. Allah Ta'ala is Rahim, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor, small sins Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Or if you commit any sin out of forgetfulness or anything, Allah Ta'ala will forgive, Allah Ta'ala Rahim, Ghafoor, Allah Ta'ala says so. But it is the two things. One is the faraid, the obligation which Allah Ta'ala has put down, and the kabair, that Allah Ta'ala says these are the major sins, you must stay away from those. And it is those things that is important to us. To avoid the sin, not to fall for the temptation, it requires quite a bit of effort. And that's why there is a hadith, Rasulullah says, Al-Mujahid man jahada nafsa, that a real mujahid, jihad we all know, lay down the life. I'm telling you, laying down the life is easier. People commit suicide. So laying down the life is much easier. But to struggle against the temptations of your heart and mind and demands of your heart and mind, that's the most difficult. This is where we fall short. And therefore, the verse, the second verse which I had recited, this is the other day I was reciting the Quran and I came across this verse, and that really attracted my attention. That what Allah Ta'ala is saying. And what is the purpose of all this tasawwuf and riyaz and zikr, and that you hand yourself over to a shaykh or to peer, what is the purpose all about it? What they are asking for? Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ, جو آخرت چاہتا ہے, جو آخرت کی زندگی چاہتا ہے, جو جس کو آخرت کی زندگی سے محبت ہے, من اراد الآخرہ, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعَيَهَا, and then he struggled, he worked hard for that آخرت to the extent that the heart, that this thought of akhirat deserve to be exerted. In other words, ki akhirat ke liye kuch karna padta hai, we'll have to do something. Wa sa'a laha sa'aya, sa'a mein not only effort is involved but the exertion is also involved. And that's why in Arabic the word sa'i, you go back in the Hajj or Umrah, you make sa'i. Sa'i means to run, because between Dakhdar and Milan you run. It's quite a bit of walk. That's a struggle. It's work. This means ki akhirat ki zindagi you will not get just for nothing. You will have to work for it. You have to earn it. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعَيَا, جس نے آخرت زندگی چاہی اور پھر اس کے لئے محنت بھی کی, ایسی محنت جیسی محنت کرنی چاہیے, جیسے what Quran is saying. That is, to work hard for the آخرت to the extent that you should for that آخرت. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah Ta'ala give the glad tidings right here. So it is, these are the people. It is men like these. Their efforts will be rewarded. Now the whole crux is then, after coming in this world, as Allah Ta'ala says, we have brought you here, we have created this world, we have created the universe, we have brought the evils, we have brought temptations, we have brought good things, all of these things are here. And then he have given you the path which way to go. And that's why my Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Hakim Muqtar Sahib Madhu Zalul Ali, Atallahu Baqahu Bi Siha Wal Afiyah, he says, and a very good point he made, this is a misunderstanding lots of people have, generally public has, and even knowledgeable scholars also have the same misunderstanding. The reward, the sawab-e ma'ud, the promised reward, is not so much on your tahajjud, not so much on your namaz and roza, hajj, zakat. Those are consequences. But the real reward is when you avoid a sin. Because if you avoid a sin and you were conscious of Allah Ta'ala, that is one stage of taqwa. And requirement of taqwa is ibadat. Ibadat means itaat, Allah. So hajj bhi hoga, zakat bhi hoga, roza bhi hoga, sab hoga. But the real thing is to avoid the sin, at least major sin. And this is where the reward is. Because in doing that, you had a struggle. You had worked hard to avoid that thing. We all know about it. But the problem is that we are so much engrossed in this worldly matter so much to such an extent that sometimes we just forget about what is tomorrow. Allah Ta'ala says, Kibai, وَالْتَنْدُ النَّفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لَغَدْ, every soul must watch out what they have sent, what he has sent to there for tomorrow. That is what is missing. And unfortunately, I have seen people changing towards their middle life or after middle life. A number of examples I have seen here that who have changed for the better. They used to drink. They used to make joke. In month of Ramadan, I know they never fasted. And then they used to make joke. Or telling people, okay, this is in the evening or whenever we just have some drink, it will help you. But men like these, I have seen, they became 5 times namazi, grown a beard. The value of these people, that who were on the other side, then consciously made an effort, and then came on this side, and they are sticking to it, and they remain firm on it, that requires quite a bit. Because, as far as people are concerned, they will call your name, they will say all kinds of things, they will say you are conservative, they will say you are a mullah, they will say you wear a kurta pajama, there you got a long beard, and this and this and this and this. All they will say on Islam is Islam only in the beard, Islam on the kurta pajama, Islam on the this, Islam only on this. These are hollow rhetorics and nothing more than that. Lekin agar dil badal jaye, if the heart changes, then he doesn't care about anybody, anything. Anybody can say whatever they want to say. And if heart changes, this is where the struggle begins. You have to work hard for that heart to change. Otherwise, we go empty-handed from here to this, to that world. The poet says, Paas kuch bhi nahin. Paas kuch bhi nahin, aur mulk-e-adam ka hai safar. Paas kuch bhi nahin, aur mulk-e-adam ka hai safar, hausle dekhiye in besar o samanon ke. That we have nothing with us, and we are going a long journey towards the akhirat. Look at the audacity and the foolhardiness of these people who haven't obtained, haven't taken with them any provision for the journey. Our provision is amal. That's what we require. And then, amal-e-saleh. What is the definition of amal-e-saleh? Not that everybody may think that I am doing very good thing and I define myself, this is my amal-e-saleh. But the thief who goes and rob a rich person and distribute to the poor, he also thinks that he is doing a good job, doing good work. Amal-e-saleh ki tarif kya hai? Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Peygamber, he is making a dua. He is making a dua and asking Allah Ta'ala to all the ni'mat that you have given me. He was given the miracle to understand the speech of animals and birds. Jinn were under his control. The wind was under his control. The ins, the men were under his control. Such a big empire. He could understand what the ants are saying. He could understand what the birds are saying. These are things have been given. These are the ni'mat which Allah Ta'ala has granted him. And look what he said. He is making the dua of Allah Ta'ala. O Allah Ta'ala, control me, hold me, Rabbi Auzi'ani, hold me, control me, so that seeing all these ni'mat, I may not be neglectful, and may not go out of my control and just forget about you. And what is the shirk there? An amala, so that I may do good deed, with good deed, tarda, jo aapko khush kare. This is the definition of amal-e-saleh. Amal-e-saleh is that amal, is that good deed with which Allah is pleased. That is the amal-e-saleh. And Allah Ta'ala has given his raza. Allah Ta'ala has defined what it is all in war. But the thing is this, we forget about all those things. The purpose of zikr, the purpose of tilawat, the purpose of ibadat, purpose of namaz, the purpose of roza, purpose of hajj, is all out of the same thing. In other words, what Allah Ta'ala has prescribed for you, for those of you who are nowadays, this is also a craze, but that's alright, this is a good thing. people who go to gym classes and they work out their thing there, whatever they've got there, but different kind of machine, different kind of thing there. But all are different gadgets, different machines. And you go work out on each one of them or many of them, which each has got a certain purpose. And all are pointing to the same purpose, that you remain healthy and that you remain good, your constitution remain good. Likewise, all these ibadat that we have got also have got a certain short-term purpose, but the long-term purpose is, that is itaat, Allah ki itaat. So that we all understand, but we are negligent of this. What we forget about it, that the temporary natureness of this world. Now these things you don't get from the book. That's very clear. Sahaba were there, Tabi'in were there, Tabi' Tabi'in were there, Awliya and Buzurg were there, all were there. They all had to look at some stage or the other. They all had to go and look for somebody in whose company they stay and do something. And therefore, like the couplet which Hazrat Hakim Samazalu often recites, of my father, says that Hayate doroza ka kya aishogam, Hayate doroza ka kya aishogam, safar ka bhi kya jaise taise rahe. That is the life of 2 days. What do you care about your comfort and about your concern about this life? Safar ka bhi kya jaise taise rahe. What do you think about travel, whether you live this way or that way? It's a statement of fact. When you go and travel someplace and you have to wait for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours at the airport, you don't look for a silly cushion. You don't look for a comfortable thing. Wherever you find places, you sit yourself. And bhai, come and sit down here. No, no, bhai, just 1 hour there, half an hour there will be stay. Just only 1 hour there, half an hour there will struggle. If you have to stand there for 1 hour, you will stand for 1 hour. So, bhai, ek ghante ki baat hai, khatam hota hai. Phir ja ke jahaz pe to baithna hai. Then we have to go and sit down there. Your attitude at that time is, it's a temporary thing. And therefore, you're not looking for a permanent comfort as such. And therefore you are prepared to sacrifice those comfort, because you say there is a time going to come when I get a little more comfort after that, which will be a little more lasting than this one. So half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hour will be a struggle. Those of you who go to Saudi Arabia for Hajj or Umrah for visa, how much you have to stand there, what you don't have to go through. But you endure all those things, thinking that after this 1 hour, 2 hour thing, after that I'll get the room or I'll do this and I'll have this and I'll have that. So he says, Hayate doroza ka kya aishogam? For 2 days of life, temporary life, what do you care about comfort and discomfort? Safar ka bhi kya jaise taise rahe. It's a traveling process of travel. Doesn't matter how, whichever way you live, you have to complete your travel. That's the objective. Hum aise rahe yahan ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. That here, whether you live this way or that way, what does it matter? The matter is, what matters is, we have to see there, how are we going to survive? How are we going to live there? How are we going to pass there? That is the crux. And that, you will not get out of book just like that. You have to hold to somebody, you hold on to somebody. So that he puts, look, Namaz, Roza, Hajj, Zakat, a 10-year-old boy also knows. Those people who go to Madrasa, in fact, those children who go to Madrasa, they know much more than their parents. Whenever there is a quiz program, something happens, adults can't answer those questions, those children answer those questions. Because they go through that. So Namaz, to 10 saal ka bachcha, wo bhi padhta hai. He also knows what, how to make Namaz. He also knows how to make Wuzu. He also know how to make roza. But to achieve the purpose of roza, the reality of roza, namaz ki haqeeqat kya hai, roze ki haqeeqat kya hai, hajj ki haqeeqat kya hai, how to get that reality, how to get that thing into thing, That you will have to get to, through somebody. And this is where we forget. We become, from the masjid you heard whatever, you think, bhai, bahut achhi baat ke, thik, thik, very good thing. But then as soon as you go, alhaakum uttakasur hatta zurtul maqabir. Then we become involved. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there are reports about him, say, he was a big businessman. Very rich businessman. Very big businessman. He paid all the debt of his father after his father died. And there are reports in hadith, in the book hadith, when he used to go in the market, Madina Munawwara, and people used to see him engross into business transaction, they used to think as if Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair doesn't think about the akhirat. Akhirat ka khayal hi nahi hai. When he is engrossed in the business, he is earning his living, and then he is so engrossed, so as if he has, people would think, as if he has no thought about the akhirat. When he came to namaz, make namaz in the Masjid al-Nabvi, and when he used to stand in prayer, then people say that he used to pray as if this is the last prayer of his life. See, this is what Allah Ta'ala is saying. And this is what is missing from us. Alright, if you can't become Abdullah ibn Zubair, at least become like those who have a little better life than others. Khaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Ramatullah Alayh, when he passed away, he left a will. Yeah, bhai. What is it? I didn't bring my glass. Somebody is blocking the driveway, 28527, ND 28527. Please remove the car. I hope it is not a musalli of our masjid. I don't know what it is. This is also Islamic etiquette. We always get involved with that. I think sometime one of Patel Sahib should talk about it also. We go into function, we go to nikah, we go to masjid, all kinds of people there, they come to the namaz. This is exactly what the point I'm making. That we come here for namaz, but at the same time, you are hurting somebody else outside there. This is haqqul ibad. You don't know the condition of the house in which the person is living, whether they are sick, whether they need medical attention or whatever they require. So you are doing one good thing, but at the same time, because you thought that this is a good thing that you are doing, but you forgot the bad thing that you did there. And this is serious. We often get involved you interrupt the thought of the speaker also at the same time. I don't know what I was saying, but anyway, so yeah, Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh, he passed away, he left a will at the time of janaza. And he said that my namaz janaza will be led by a person who had never missed the takbir tahrima, the first takbir, who did not miss the namaz of tahajjud, who did not miss the asr namaz. Now Khaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh, imagine how many ulama, how many sufiya, how many people must be there. And when this, his relative announced the will, nobody was moving forward, because nobody fulfilled the condition. Who moves forward? Sultan Al-Tutmish, the ruler of India. Sultan Al-Tutmish was a very powerful king. He moves forward. What did he say? He said, this was a secret between me and my Allah, which Khaja Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh opened it today for the public. So I'm saying, you cannot, if you are not unable to become the Abdullah ibn Zubair, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Osman, or anybody else for that matter, at least become like him. He was a worldly man, but he was at the same time Allah Wala also. But that, you will have to submit yourself to somebody. And it's not a joke, this you will learn. Practical training, you have to get through somebody. There are so many people, nobody will come and tell you, I am Allah Wala, you come and sit down with me. You go and see his life, how he is living. Has Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh, somebody went to him and see him, went to see him, bhai, I have heard so much about Junaid Baghdadi, let me go and test him, how is he, and I want to submit himself. So he went there and stayed there for 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, whatever days he stayed there. Then after a few days he wanted to go, he said, I'm going now. So Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh asked him, bhai, what purpose you came for and why are you going away? He said, I have come here to see you because I wanted to become your murid, and I have come to see you that how you think, any karamat, anything happened, but I didn't see any karamat, so I'm going back home. So Junaid Baghdadi said, bhai, you stayed here for 7 days, 10 days, 15 days. Have you seen any of my action which is against the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, no. He said, badbakht, what more karamat you want then? This is true. But that means the verse, again I remind you, ki man arad al akhira, jisne akhirat ki khwahish ki, wasa'a laha saaya, and worked for it, then their efforts will be rewarded. So in order to keep the sunnah and avoid the sin, that means working, to work for it. And work for it, the method you get from somebody whom you trust, and submit yourself for that. Whatever I have said, I myself deserve the same admonition. But if you understand this, and if you are conscious of this, then you look for somebody. Your old mosque, mashallah, is rich for that purpose. Submit yourself. Ye dunya aani jaani hai khatam. Never know what happens. Somebody gets outside, they get knocked to the car and died, and finish. So dunya bhai jaane wali hai. Akhir asar cheez to wahan hai. Hum aise rahe, yahan ke waise rahe. Wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. Wa akhir dawana bil alamin. Assalamu alaikum.